The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those went with us to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see him. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to where they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they went out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was the chaplain at Cardinal Ritter High School in Indianapolis, there was an event that took place that I thought was the best thing of the year and also the most deplorable, worst thing of the year. It was a senior retreat. We would do it 4 times a year. And it could at the same time be one of the most joyful weeks of the year and also the most miserable. I mean, just imagine it. You get about 30 high school seniors and you gather them together and force them to endure 4 days of listening to witness talks and praying together and staying up late into the night, not getting a lot of sleep. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. But It also had plenty of great benefits to it. These seniors, for the first time in their lives often, would see prayer taking place in their midst, would be able to reveal things that were going on in their heart of hearts to their classmates, would get to see their teachers give witness talks talking about their faith and what they believed and make it real. And while we were there, there was one time my first year that we were hearing confessions. We would hear confessions on one of the days of these seniors being there. And I was sitting there, and we opened it up to anybody who wanted to come. So Catholics, non-Catholics, didn't matter. And into the confessional walked one of the foreign exchange students at Cardinal Ritter, foreign exchange student from China. His name was Dale. Well, it really wasn't Dale. We just couldn't pronounce his Chinese name. So everyone called him Dale, and he was perfectly fine with that. So he walks in, and he was just like, you know, Father, can I just talk to you for a little bit? And I said, Dale, that's fine. Yeah, come on in. And so he sat down, and he said, Father, I think I've found Christ. And I was like, okay. And I was very excited about this. You know, I knew Dale wasn't Catholic. And I was like, so what does that mean? And he said, Father, I think I want to become Catholic. Now getting really excited, I was like, okay, you know what? What was it that, you know, kind of inspired you to come into the Catholic Church? You know, was it our awesome, you know, tradition, our teachings that we have? You know, here you are being at Ritter for 2 years, been taking these theology classes. Like, was it learning about our moral theology and our philosophies and these great ideals that the Catholic Church holds, this great logic that we present to the world? Is that, you know, what inspired you, going to these classes? No, no, it wasn't that. I was like, well, what about our history? You know, we got 2,000 years of amazing Catholic history. You know, these great saints who have gone before us, these great stories and legends of all these great men and women who made the Catholic Church what it is, the great triumphs of the Catholic Church in 2,000 years. Was that what it was, you know, that inspired you? No, no, it wasn't that either. So then I kind of leaned in. I was just like, was it one of my homilies that got you to come? He's like, no, it definitely wasn't that. So then I kind of threw up my hands up. I was just like, Dale, what was it? You know, what inspired you to find Christ, to come into the Catholic Church? He said, Father, growing up in China, I was never taught how to pray. I was never taught that there was a God. We never went to church. We were always taught that you gave your best effort at school, you did your best work there, you grew as an individual, and one day you would get a great job, you'd make lots of money, you'd be successful, you'd be popular. That's what we were taught. That's what was going to bring us happiness. And so when I had the opportunity to travel to the United States to be a student here, I was like, this is great. Here's the United States, this country where they value success. Where to them and their culture, it's all about the money. It's all about being entertained. It's all about finding these avenues towards happiness. So I got over here to the United States. I was thrilled. This place is the pinnacle of the cultures of the world when it comes to this. And I was going to learn it firsthand. I wanted to go to the best schools, and so I found Cardinal Ritter High School. We all know that Catholic schools are the best of schools, so I went there thinking I was going to get a great education. I was going to get into a great college, get a great job, and feel fulfilled. And he said, I knew when I came to Cardinal Ritter, being a Catholic school, that I'd have to take theology. I'd have to learn about the Catholic Church, and I was fine with that. I was going to treat it like it was some distant, extinct religion that didn't exist anymore. I was going to treat it like it was something totally other than myself, something like in a history class that didn't have anything to do with me. I was going to treat it like it was an anthropology class studying some foreign culture, these weird mystical practices that they have. But then I saw that every class began with Mr. Finnig, our theology teacher, getting up in front of all of us and facing this image of a man nailed to a cross, he would pray. And he said, I would watch him, and it was so weird because he'd just say these words to the open air as if there was really somebody listening to him. And he didn't read it off a page either. It was something from his heart every single day, something new, something that had meaning and purpose behind it. And then, throughout the year, we would go to the gymnasium for Mass. And I said, I thought it was always kind of a weird practice. You know, we'd go into this gymnasium, all the students, all the teachers would gather, and we'd be seated there in the gym facing this dinner table set up on the stage where we would perform our plays. And behind the dinner table, there was a man with these robes on, and he would hold up a cracker for everybody to see. And he said it was the weirdest thing to witness. And I started looking around at my classmates and the teachers and kind of with an expression of, are you guys for real? And expecting them to have the same look on their faces. But I looked at them and I saw them just staring at that cracker. And I could tell that they were seeing something I didn't see. I could tell that there was something there that I was missing. For a while now, I've been trying to figure it out. And he says, the only way I figure I can do that is if I become Catholic. And I said, okay, let's talk about that. There was another retreat that I was a part of as a seminarian, also put on for high school students. It was called Consumed. And in this retreat put on by diocesan priests, we would gather these high school students together for 3 days talking about Jesus Christ, what he meant to them. And on the third day of that retreat, we would gather them all together, usually outside in this tent that was put up, and we had an altar in this tent. They were all gathered around. We had music playing and these prayers being said. And on the altar, we had the monstrance. We had adoration taking place. And at one moment in the evening, we would ask all the teenagers to get down on their knees facing the monstrance. And the priest would come around and he would take the monstrance and he would go down and have it placed right in front of each one of them, one by one, going down the line. And he would pause for a few seconds in front of them. And you have to imagine, for 3 days we've been talking about this God who has promised them love and forgiveness and mercy and goodness, fulfillment in their life in this world that promises only despair and desolation. And here they were, finally, face to face with that God. They couldn't look away. Right there in front of them, in the breaking of the bread, was Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I saw these big, bad football player guys, solid as a rock, break down and cry. And they would reach out and they would take the priest's vestments and they would wipe their eyes in that cloth as if they were the woman in the New Testament reaching out, hoping to be healed. Just if I can touch his cloth, I'll be healed. There were girls, these drama queens, that only cared about their makeup and how they looked and their fashion. And here they were staring at the living God, not caring that their mascara was running down their face as they looked upon love himself. It was real to them. It finally became real to them. Dale finally ended up joining the church. We did classes with him, worked him through the whole thing. And it was beautiful. We did it during one of our school masses there in the gymnasium. So here he is surrounded by all of his classmates, all these teachers, all these people who, whether they knew it or not, had changed his life by the way they responded to their faith. By the way they prayed, by the way they attended Mass, they made a difference to him. And here he was surrounded by them in that moment. And we had him up here in the front, And he professed the faith and he said, I believe in one God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic faith. And we baptized him. We confirmed him, sealed him with the Holy Spirit. And we gave him his first communion. Now after the Mass, I went up to Dale and I said, how do you feel? Do you feel any differently now? You know, on Friday night, this last Friday night, we had confirmation take place for our high schoolers, and I asked them that same question, you know, do you feel any different? How do you feel after confirmation? And all of them were like, eh, I guess I feel a little different, I don't know, you know. But I asked Dale, how do you feel? Do you feel any different? And he looked at me, and with a big smile on his face, he said, I feel whole.